So are we all back? Did you get the little message?
I'm back. I pressed my one.
Very good. So we're recording right now. Well, I have 2 minutes after, and I guess I'll do what we normally do, and that's just ask folks. Hi, Louise. It's Scott Carley here, Don, and Laura Chrysler, and Candace, and I don't know Candace's last name.
Maybe Candace got scared away by being recorded.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Guess so.
Maybe. Oh, maybe that was a little too forward already. Well, as we normally do, we start off with announcements, and I'm just wondering if anyone has any announcements they want to make. Okay.
I have one. This is Louise.
Okay. Hi, Louise. Deb.
We have a polar symposium that's being sponsored by National Science Foundation that will happen at NSTA, so it has a strong climate change focus, and there'll be scientists there talking to the teachers and educators that are connected to polar research that will be leading hands-on activities and a lot of really great resources. So if anybody knows of any teachers that are going to NSTA, they could pass that word on. That'd be great.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Louise. I know I put up the link to the main website for the conference, for which is what, coming up right away, or is it next month?
It's next month.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I should make my plane reservations today.
So anything else? Well, one of the things that I have to announce is Marion Grogan, who is often on these calls, and is the person who sent out an email, I think probably within the last week, asking folks if they had any suggestions for presentations. And she was delightfully overwhelmed. And so we actually have a number of talks scheduled. Just mention them. These are all on the Telecon schedule page. So on February 22nd, Richard Lathrop is going to talk about the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. March 22nd, Charles Kazalik from Bio is going to talk about their NSDL pathway project. Kim Lytle, who's often on here, is going to give us, I guess, an update, really, on the middle school portal, again, another NSDL pathway project, Beyond Weather, Beyond Penguins. That's on March 29th. April 19th, Art Silsman is going to talk about one of the new climate change education partnerships that we just funded in September, and this one's on Pacific Islands Climate Education Partnership. Some of us met with Art at AGU this in December. And on April the 26th, Kristen Poppleton is from the Will Steiner Foundation will presumably talk about what the foundation does. So, and it looks like Joe Witte is also scheduled somewhere in the future to talk about their work at the Center for Climate Change Education at George Mason. So we have lots of talks coming up. Today is one of those chances we have to have some informal discussion and whatever comes up. So any questions about upcoming conferences or the teleconferences or any of that material? I pretty much gave you what I have, but... What we try to do is have as many of those sort of formal presentations as we can. They usually have a slideshow associated with them, and we record them, so it's an opportunity for people later on to go back and listen to them, too. So it's great to have so many people volunteering to present to this group. And thanks to everyone. It's great. So is there anyone on the call that is new and would love to introduce themselves to everyone else, and the rest of us can sort of chime in, too, and give just put names to voices?
Well, I'm new. This is Candace.
Candace, what's your last name? I didn't get it, actually.
It's a hyphenated name, Lutzo-Felling.
Oh, my.
And felling a tree.
Good. So So, Candice, do you want to maybe talk a little bit of, you know, what you're doing and what your interest in climate change? And because we're such a small group, we'll just sort of go around and get a sense of who else is on the call, too. But I'll let you start out, if that's all right.
Sure. Well,
great.
I'm a botanist and conservation biologist by training. I did my doctoral research in the Hawaiian Islands.
Oh, great.
And then I came here to Virginia to head up environmental science programs for K-12 education community. I work at a biological field research station associated with the University of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
We're also the State Arboretum of Virginia. It's my task to incorporate science and scientific methods into education programs for teachers and for youth. And I also am involved in helping scientists interact with the K-12 education community. So that's my main job. And since I do work with researchers here, once in a while they ask me to help them with their grant proposals.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our researchers who's studying the impacts of climate change on forest insect dynamics,
mm-hmm,
asked me to write an outreach component for his project, which I did, and we were funded. And the project that I proposed was to hold a climate change science symposium for all the science education leaders in our state, so the science advisors and coordinators. So I'm in the process of planning that right now. That will happen in June. So,
well, as soon as you have any information, you know, if you have a website or some dates or whatever, please let me know. And you can just, you probably talked to Tamara, perhaps, in joining here.
Yes, I sent her a little blurb.
Tamara, or actually now to the listserv, any information, that would be great to let everyone know about that. And, you know, there will be interest, I'm sure, beyond in what you're doing in June. And I'd certainly love to put it up on the website, too, so others can see what's happening around the country.
So how do I send emails to the list?
If you start getting emails from us, it's just, I have to actually look it up myself. what is it? It's clean, this is all lowercase, clean-rc.
Okay.
Is that right?
RC is in Royal Crown Cola.
Oh, I'm just, Don, that's not right, is it?
No, it's Climate Literacy Network.
Yeah, I'm going with another.
No.
I looked at something else. Yeah, it'll have to be the Climate Literacy at turk.com, I believe, is it.
Okay.
List.turk.edu.
It's Turk. It's going to be Turk, I think.
Okay, I'll double check one of the emails.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I thought I had it right here, but let me see if I can get a better one for you.
So right now I'm being inundated with climate science information and trying to learn as much as I can.
Well, that's good.
Candice,
here's the right email. It's Climate Literacy Network, all lowercase, at list. list.edu.
Okay.
So list.turk.edu. If you send any information like that, it'd be great.
Okay, I'll do that.
That's wonderful, Candice. Thanks. Have any other folks joined us recently? I heard a few people pop in there. I'm kind of leaving the chime in.
Hey, Stefan. I'm Martha Shaw from Earth Advertising. I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, hi, Martha.
Peg Stefan from NOAA.
And Peg here, too. So we were just, we have at least one new member. Candice is here from the University of Virginia, and Candice just introduced herself. I can sort of go in and just sort of introduce myself, and maybe we can just go around for a few moments. I'm Scott Carley with the College of Exploration here in Seattle. And I've been working on one of the projects that actually came out of this network, which is the Clean Pathway Project, which is reviewing climate change education materials, mostly online materials. And we're well into our second year of reviewing materials. There's a website for that that many of you already know, cleannet.org, and there's at least 100 material items there that we've reviewed favorably, and there's comments, annotations, and all that there. So that's one of the big projects that I've been working on. So who's next? Do you want to chime in, Don?
Sure. I'm Don Duganhass. I work at the Paleontological Research Institution and its Museum of the Earth, and we have just recently initiated the process of merging with the Cayuga Nature Center. All of that is in Ithaca, New York. I work on various NSF projects. My salary is primarily paid by two of those, one of which is a DRK-12 project for teacher professional development and curriculum materials development to help teachers of earth science across the country teach about local and regional earth system science in an inquiry-based way. And one that just recently began is Marcel Shale, developing public education programming and providing professional development for formal and informal educators in the region affected by Marcel Shale issues. So
that's a big one.
One version of me, anyway. Yeah.
A little bit of what he does.
I'll jump in. My name is Louise Huffman. I'm the Education Outreach Coordinator for ANDRIL, which is Antarctic Geological Drilling, a National Science Foundation research project that's drilling sedimentary rock cores off the coast of Antarctica and looking at climate change over millions of years. And we've created a lot of different resources for teaching climate change, and our most recent one is one that we have created a environmental literacy framework with a focus on climate change that has pulled from the work of a lot of people on this call, and the essential principles of climate change and earth science and atmosphere and oceans, and have pulled out the principles that focus on climate change and have put them into one document, and then created a set of new hands-on resources that are in the process of being, they've just been field tested and they're in the process of being revised now. We hope to have them online by late spring, early summer. And Candace, I was going to tell you that we also have a NOAA grant that we sponsor climate change summits at different sites around the country, and on March 5th we'll be at Virginia Tech, down the road from you a little bit. These are for students middle school to high school, and we have one at Virginia Tech, one at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, and one at the State Museum at University of Nebraska, and one in Juneau, Alaska, and then we connect all those sites with a video conference, and the students share their research on site and then talk to each other across across latitudes to each other about climate change and what's happening in their region. So that's happening on March 5th, pretty close to you.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Louise, I'll try to get that up on our website, too, so we have some of the dates for that. Are those open meetings, or are they really kind of, well, I guess they're open in the location?
No, they're actually, the teachers have been through a series of two professional development workshops, and then they've been working with their students for the last 6-8 months, and now the students are going to come together and share across all these different sites. So, yeah, it's a closed meeting, but we'll be doing it again next year, and next year we actually are probably have 2 summits and 9 sites.
Wow.
Around the country. So it grew.
Yeah, these do things do.
I'm a little crazed right now. Next year I'll be crazy.
Yeah.
That's great. So anyone else want to chime in and give a little update? Certainly for Candace at this point. I think the rest of us are know a little bit about what everyone is doing.
Well, I'd love to get the email address of the new people. I'm so interested in that Antarctica drilling project. I'm not quite sure how I would get in touch with her or find out more about it.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy to talk to you anytime if you want to.
Can you email your phone number to the group? or your email?
Sure. My email is lhuffman, with a U, H-U-F-F-M-A-N, at andrill, A-N-D-R-I-L-L, .org.
Okay, thanks.
That's it?
Yeah, email me, and I can send you my phone number.
Great.
Oh, hi. This is Joe Witte, and I'm doing some climate outreach for NASA with television meteorologists, and I did come across yesterday, in fact, some of you know about it already, but the earth2sky.org is a beautiful website. It's earth2sky.org. It's a partnership with NASA, the National Park Service, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Organization.
Right.
And a good website.
Great. Thanks for that hint. Always looking for websites. Again, this is Scott Carley here. One of the things I'm trying to do is update the pages on our small website here for the Climate Literacy Network. So I'm trying to put some of those resources as we find them up there so other folks can see them easily. One other thing that happens is that as people send material around on the email list, those things are also archived, so it's actually also available on the website. But I try to extract things from there and put them up on other pages so they're a little easier to find. So I'll be trying to do more of that than I have been in the last couple of months. But, so look for that. Keep checking those things out. And add things if you can. Just let me know. So are there any burning topics for folks this today? Anyone have something that they really want to talk about or want to have some input from this group, maybe working on a proposal? I know we spent quite a bit of time the last couple of weeks working on the NAAEE conference for, I think it's October, if I remember correctly. So we're shifting gears here a little bit. I think all that stuff has gone in. No ideas? Well, I can sort of continue on with what I was talking about. One of the things that I'm curious about is what are the kinds of resources that would be useful for people on the website. And you folks can't see it yet now because I'm still sort of working on it in the background, but I'm trying to pull together materials on any of the documents, you know, the links to things like the Six Americas report from the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication. There's some of the impact stuff. I know that Jay Monahan passed a link over on some of the stuff that's going on in Wisconsin in terms of impact, so some of the regional impacts of climate change. So I'm trying to record some of those, and if folks have additions to that, that would be really helpful. So just trying to identify sort of some of those main documents that some of the old hands here sort of recognize as sort of the background material. And it's nice just to put those up for folks who may not be familiar with some of the things that have been developed over the last couple of years, you know, certainly by the Climate Literacy Network and its members, so, and from some of the government agencies, too. So any ideas of other things that might be useful for folks? More regional stuff, is that helpful? The reports I'm looking at are probably more of the sort of government agency reports, but I think it'd be great if we can start to identify learning resources that may be very specific to particular regions. I know, for example, I certainly, through the Clean Project, have reviewed a number of things that are very specific to Alaska, and it might be interesting just to have a few of those indicated in Alaska, and here's some sort of teaching resources, teaching activities that would be helpful if you are in Alaska or are teaching a unit on Alaska. We clearly have some things in Wisconsin and Antarctica.
There's some for the Northeast, too, especially with sea level rise.
Yes.
Coastal inundation. But I think the regional focus is really because if people can't relate to climate change, they're going to continue to ignore it.
Right.
Hey,
was that who was just speaking?
Candace.
That was Candace again.
Okay.
I'm in Virginia.
Yeah, we've got certainly members in most areas of the country, not so much in the southeast, and even in a couple folks in California, but certainly northeast and the northwest is well represented in Colorado, Don in New York. So we do have representation on the network of folks who are working in particular regions, so it'd be really helpful to sort of start to build that. One of the things I'd like to do, if I can, is to put that on a map so that, you know, we're also seeing sort of visually where things are, too. So that's something I hope to be able to do in the next couple of weeks. It just becomes a different way of presenting the material, that's all, and finding it. The regional focus is one. We've also spent a lot of time in the last, I was going to say last month, but really the last couple of years, really focusing on climate change education or communications. How do we communicate climate change? How do we move through some of the resistance and some of the ideas, the controversies, all of those kinds of issues? And they keep coming up. We've certainly had a number of presentations at conferences on these issues and try to sort of capture some more of that background information, too. So any other comments or so?
About the web or anything else?
Anything else that's coming up. You know, we've got a couple of projects or a couple of events coming up soon.
Well, I sent out an email. This is Martha asking people for suggestions because I'm thinking about finishing my PhD, and I want to make sure that the topic that I pick, which is really about the effect of sea level on coastlines and ways of predicting sea level, if anybody wants to, I'm going to send that email out again. If anybody has any suggestions, I really want to pinpoint an area that is very relevant and not been done. And I already have a master's in this. I'm just going to finish up my PhD.
That is great. You know, obviously there's work being done on all kinds of coasts. So are you interested particularly in the northeast then?
Not really. I'm more interested in island states.
Okay. In the Pacific, potentially?
Yeah.
Certainly, Art Sussman is going to talk about the Pacific Island Climate Change Education Project in, when is it? I think he's in, it's going to be on the 19th of April, so a little ways away. But Art is certainly one person to get a hold of. He's at West Ed in San Francisco. And so if you're interested in Pacific Islands, they certainly are just beginning that process of understanding that. I could speak for myself. I'm part of the International Pacific Marine Educators Network, which includes many of the islands in the South Pacific and literally around the whole Pacific Basin. And so this is a topic that we've talked about in our conferences over the last couple of years. So it's not an abstraction for many of our members. Literally seeing their nations disappear. So so that's another thing, and Martha, I can follow up and sort of point you to some of the stuff that we've done, some of the presentations we've had over the last couple of years on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I can do that. And that's this is just sort of, you know, indicative of what we can do as a network is be able to exchange that kind of information if we have it and support each other. So anything else coming up?
I have a meeting at Scripps Oceanographic next week about this, and I'm madly trying to define my topic.
Well, that's good. A number of people who are involved in ocean education, if you're looking at that, Scripps is part of COSI California, and there's also a COSI West that's in sort of that area, so Scripps is actually associated with COSI California, so there's folks there that I know, and obviously that's a big topic in oceanography. So good stuff, scary stuff, but I mean it's really important to work on.
Yeah. Well, I have a proposal for the group. This is Candace.
Yeah.
I'm a member of the AAAS Education group, and you know AAAS is meeting in D.C. this week.
This week, yeah, 17th.
And the education group put out a call for symposium proposals for next year.
Uh-huh.
The theme for the conference is Flattening the World, Building the 21st Century Global Knowledge Society. And, of course, there's a wonderful network diagram they've put together for the theme. And climate change, of course, is one of the themes mentioned.
Right.
I thought it would be good to organize a symposia on global climate change science education principles and practice.
Okay. Well, this is certainly the group that will be interested in that.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. I can't remember if we actually set up a session for D.C. or not. I don't...
isn't one.
I don't think... We actually did not talk... We talked about AAAS, but we actually, I don't think, have proposed a symposium. So this would be very good timing for 2012. Do you know, Candace, do you know where it's going to be held next year?
Yeah, Vancouver.
D.C.?
Yeah.
Very good. Appeals to me.
So I should sign you up for a talk?
Not necessarily, but...
I'm just kidding. So here's an outline I've worked up, see what you think, for a symposia. First,
sure.
Talk about education foundations. So present the climate literacy principles.
Yep.
And the climate literacy atlas, if it's ready by then.
Mm-hmm.
And have somebody knowledgeable about those, like maybe Frank Niepold.
Yep.
And then next, move into current knowledge. What are people's thoughts about climate change? And we could present the Six Americas work. That would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then go into the practice. What are some great models of climate science education around the country that we could have people get up and talk about curriculum they've not only developed but presented and give impacts of that? And when you were saying, talking about how do we communicate climate change, maybe that could also be a topic added to the symposium. What do you think?
These are absolutely the prime topics. I know we've discussed it, many of the same points at some of the presentations that folks have done at the American Geophysical Union meetings. They're usually held in San Francisco in December, and I know we've had presentations on that. I know we've had presentations at North American Association for Environmental Education, the NAAEE.
Right.
Where I go is just because we've sort of presented it for 30 people in one of those forums, all the more reason for doing it in a slightly different form. You get different folks coming to AAAS. So I think certainly we can put some really great people together and talk about those really important topics. So I think that sounds really great. Do you have a sense, Candace, about when these proposals need to go in? Because it's probably very soon, in fact.
April 26th.
Okay.
But
so,
I'll be attending the education meeting this week.
Yes.
And I'll present this idea and get feedback.
Excellent. Well, that would be great if you could report back to us, perhaps even next week, just to give us a sense of what the how people were responding to that, whether they thought that was a good idea, something that we should, you know, we can all help to promote for the 26th if it needs to go in.
Approximately 10,000 scientists attend that meeting.
Yes.
And 4,000 journalists. It's huge, so it would be a great venue.
Yes. Yeah, I went to the one here in Seattle not too many years ago.
I was there.
Yes, it was actually in Seattle, which is why I'm surprised it's in Vancouver. But I think it's less than 5 years ago it was here. And it's huge. Now, that I'm just sort of off the top of my head. Because the focus is more on scientists and journalists and perhaps not on educators, I don't know whether that's fair or not.
Not fair. There is an education track.
Right.
So, and I think it would be good to present to the scientists scientific community how to communicate this science to the K-12 community. That's really important.
Yes.
That's why I think we should make a presentation at that meeting.
Yes.
It fits in with the theme. It's just primed for us.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely it needs to be there. And, we certainly can put folks together that can present on those topics. I think what's true is that many of the presentations have been done by folks out of the network have been really more geared towards educators. So this could be quite different. I think we all sort of see this as straddling both the education and the science communities. But most of the presentations that I can think of that we've done over the last 2 or 3 years have been mostly focused on educators. So this would be an opportunity to do this in a slightly different way. And again, I think, as you're suggesting, is scientists will be very interested in how the work that they're doing is getting communicated, especially into the K-12 community.
Definitely.
It could be very interesting to them, too. So that's great. That's a great suggestion, Candace.
Okay, I'm going for it, then.
Oh, go for it. Absolutely. I think, is that fair for everyone? Everyone feel like that? Something that
we don't forget to include games, because we have some web games developed for that, and there's been quite a few presentations. I think my brother David Shaw is the new treasurer of AAAS.
Yes.
I think you just got elected.
You're right, an inside connection.
You love it?
Candace, you might be interested in, the International Polar Year has just ended, and last summer in June, there was a book that was published for and given out at the final conference in Oslo, and one of the chapters in that book is called Tips and Tricks for Science Presentations, and it's really written by teachers for scientists.
Great.
The book itself was written by educators and young scientists, scientists from the Association of Polar Early Career Scientists, so there's a lot. It's kind of a cool book of different activities and things like that. But the one chapter is specifically tips and tricks for science presentations. So you might be interested in looking at that. And if you want, I have a couple of copies left here. I could send you a copy, or you can get it from when you email me. I can send you the address. I've forgotten off the top of my head.
And that's Martha Shaw.
Oh, is that Martha? I was thinking it was Candace.
I'm Candace. Who are you?
This is Louise Huffman.
Okay,
and
I got it. All right. Sorry.
You were going to email me about the Andrel stuff. With Martha, was that you talking about the presentation?
No, Candace was.
Candace was. Okay, that's what I thought.
Hey, Louise, I'll email you.
Okay.
That's excellent. Actually, Louise, if you could send an email about that, I think others would be very interested in that. I must admit, I didn't know about that book either, so it'd be great for other folks, I'm sure, to know that that chapter's in there.
Yeah, it was actually published in England, and there are some copies floating around. I know Dave Carlson at UNAVCO has some, and I have a few. You can order it directly from Pearson, and it was supposed to be available on Amazon, but I'm not sure if it ever got up there.
Okay. Well, we can check that all out. At least knowing that it's there, we can look for it.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, is there anything else that we want to chat about? If not, we can wrap up a little early. And I think anything else? We normally have a few more folks on, so it's a little quiet. And Candace, just so you know, usually we don't have as many people on these calls, but when we have a topic, we can get 25 or 30 people on. So this just gives us a little bit of a break to have a bit more informal discussion like today.
I've enjoyed it.
Oh, good, good.
Well, you guys are exciting.
Like last week we had a presentation from Laura Tannenbaum from NASA. She's in charge of the climate, what is it called, Windows on the World?
Climate.nasa.gov.
Yeah. And,
we spent
an hour and 15 minutes on that, so we can get really going, too. But it's good to have a short meeting, and I just want to invite all of you to come back and hear a presentation from Richard Lathrop, on the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. I think Jay Monahan talked a little bit about this over the last couple of weeks, so I think that's how that's gotten onto our agenda. So that will be very interesting to see what Wisconsin is doing and all these in looking at impact on that state. So there's nothing, is there anything else that people want to add before we wrap? I think we're done for the day.
All right. Have a good one.
Look forward to talking with you guys next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you next week, Louise. I'm going to give you an email right now.
Okay, great. I'll look for it.
Okay.
Very good. Thanks to everyone. Bye now.
Bye.